Live, another week, another show. Hey there, folks. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading the show. This is show number 198. I am recording this on a rainy Sunday, October 15th, here in Seattle, Washington. It's raining. We've needed rain for a little while, and we've got it. And I understand other parts of the country and the world are dealing with snow or heat or what have you. That's the beauty of a global listenership that I have here on the Major Nelson radio program. I got a bunch of few interviews this week, as you can tell by the length of the show. You probably looked at it and said, wow, that's a long show, Major. Well, it is a long show. Lots to discuss. Got some good interviews queued up for you. I'm doing a couple things in the background here. In my home studio, I've got a couple of PCs. One of the PCs I have is a Media Center PC, so I'm upgrading that right now to Vista to build 5759. Let me just keyboard video mouse switch over here. Let me see how that's doing. So let me just switch over to that machine and see how it's doing. Yeah, it looks like it's rebooting. All right. So I've actually noticed that the installs of Vista have gone fairly well for me. Don't know about you, but for me, they've been pretty good. So your mileage may vary. As I said, I've got some interviews for you queued up. I'll talk about those in just a minute. For those of you that don't know, if you've just downloaded this from iTunes and you think I'm just some standalone guy, who does a show each week, podcast, blogcast, whatever you want to call it. There's actually a much more, there's a much deeper experience you can locate over at my blog at www.majornelson.com. And you can participate in the conversations there and so on and so forth. I've been getting a lot of comments later. We're almost at 100,000 comments total in the site. And so it's pretty big. And one of the things we did about a month or month and a half ago was we enabled registration where people can actually register using their gamer tag. And I'm noticing a lot of spam lately, a lot of spam, and I don't know why. Some of it's porn spam, some of it's just crazy talk spam. So we're looking at a system, just so folks know, where basically anybody who makes a comment that is not registered, and registration's free, and you know, I don't take any of your information, I just register for the site. And we're looking at a system where basically we would take any of the anonymous comments and they'd sit in a queue for 6 or 12 hours. So they wouldn't go live right immediately. So if you want your stuff to go live immediately, then maybe you should register. So anyway, check out majornelson.com if you want. I post there frequently. Although, as of late, it's been a lot of marketplace stuff. And I was down in the Xbox Operations Center last week, and somebody mentioned to me that they had posted more stuff to the marketplace, like, in the past week than they had, like, in the first couple months of the Xbox 360 launch. So the marketplace activity is significantly increasing. Speaking of marketplace activity, I want to talk about this for just a moment. I do have a marketplace feed up on my site where you can go and you can subscribe to it. And if you look over, if you go to majornelson.com and look over on the left-hand side, you'll see RSS for Marketplace. And that is what I do is as I post, I'll tag things with Marketplace or sometimes demo or what have you. But if it's available in the Marketplace, I will tag it as the Marketplace. So go ahead and point your RSS feeder over to my feed there, and you can get the update. Now, another great source of information is, of course, Xbox.com. If you go up to Xbox.com, they'll often have previews up, and they'll have the previews up a couple days later. They basically were working on a much better system where I won't have to post all of the content on my blog. It'll be an automated situation where people, because this is not automated, I manually do this. And Xbox.com, we're working on an automated solution. Hopefully we can get that done in the next few months, where basically as content appears, it'll just, bam, randomly pop up on Xbox.com. So you may see some other sites popping around. Specifically, there was a was it the Xbox 360 pipeline? Don't remember what the name of the site was, but our marketing department sent out an email pointing to this site, and a lot of the information on there was late, inaccurate, frankly, just missing or wrong. So if you really want the most up-to-date information, you really need just to keep an eye on Xbox.com, or, of course, you can subscribe to the RSS feed on my site. And that's it. That's all you need to know. The marketing site was an experiment, and we'll just leave it at that. Speaking of marketing sites, and this is just generally speaking, this isn't just video games. Do you guys hate Flash sites as much as I do? Like, when you go to a site and all it is Flash, you know, you want to get to the information as quickly as possible. I don't mind a little bit of Flash here or there. Like, if I'm doing a product interaction, you can switch buttons and see things, how it works. That's kind of cool. But for God's sakes, marketers of America and the world and beyond, please just settle down on the Flash sites. You know, we want the information. Give us the information in exciting, compelling format that doesn't require us to mouse around and try to figure something out. And then there's all navigation. In some websites, I just don't understand what they're doing with the navigation. So, I'm sorry. I'm bitching about that, and I shouldn't be. I should be moving on here. All right. So I want to talk to you about the maintenance schedule. For those of you that don't know, I posted this last week, on the blog, is that Xbox.com, Xbox Live, and the Xbox forums will be offline for maintenance starting midnight on Tuesday, October 17th, 2006. And it will be offline for up to 24 hours. So if you're listening to this show after Tuesday, October 17th, 2006, it's okay. You can move on. You can fast forward over the next 60 seconds or so. But if you're listening to it before and you don't know this, listen very carefully. So starting at midnight on Tuesday, October 17th, 2006, Xbox Live is going to be unavailable. Xbox.com is going to be unavailable. Xbox forums are going to be unavailable. They're working on some maintenance. This is what we call scheduled maintenance. E, who's in charge of our operations team, is very clear. This is scheduled maintenance. So what does that mean to you? That means that when you turn on your Xbox 360 console on Tuesday during the day, depending upon where you are, if you hit us during the downtime, then you will actually get a pop-up message that says that Xbox Live is offline for maintenance. If you turn on your original Xbox, I know there's a lot of original Xbox fans out there, you won't get an error. You'll get this weird, funky can't connect to live error. I think it may even tell you to contact to support, but don't call us. We know we're undergoing maintenance. If you hit Xbox.com or the Xbox.com forums, you're just going to get a placeholder page that says we're offline. Now, a lot of folks have emailed me asking, why is the Xbox.com and the forums offline when Live is down and vice versa? Because the way they're designed, they're all interconnected. Xbox.com, which has your My Xbox section, and Xbox Forums, which has your gamer card integration, and then there's Xbox Live, the service. Everything is so tightly integrated that when we do the maintenance, everything has to come down at once. So it's not a big deal. So if you can go up to Xbox.com and you can read the story, I'll put the link on the blog to that where you can see the downtime. And then we also put up a top 10 list of things you can do on October 17th. So I won't read through those, but we'll cover those actually towards the end of the show, because I have a special guest coming in studio to present some of the top 10s that didn't make it. They were rejected from this list. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. All right, what else? I've got a couple of interviews I want to bang out right here. I know a lot of you guys, before I get to that, I want to talk about the Xbox Live Vision Camera. I know a lot of people have purchased those, and a lot of people are really having fun with those. If you do come across anything that you don't particularly care for seeing or you think may be offensive, make sure that you send feedback as well as file a complaint. And I talked about this last week, but it's very important. It's worth noting. Sending feedback and filing a complaint are two separate things. When you send a feedback, what that does when you send a feedback, is that right? When you send a feedback, send feedback. When you send feedback, that actually goes into our matchmaking algorithm, whether you prefer or like to avoid a player. Now, the complaint actually goes into an entirely different desk. And, you know, you've got this mental image of this huge, you know, bureaucratic mess building and the feedback, the lights going off at one end of the building. That's kind of the way it works. When you file a complaint, that goes into another system that gets looked at, with the policy and review team. So that's pretty important that you know what the deal is. So if you see something on the camera that you're, or anywhere actually, that you don't particularly care for, someone screaming into your mic and so on and so forth, give me my chocolate milk. Then go ahead and file a complaint. That's something you really need to be aware of. So some people actually do both. They file feedback that says, you know what, I really don't want to play with this person anymore, and this person is doing X, Y, or Z, and they go ahead and file a complaint. So that's important to point out. Couple things I want to point out this week, actually, with the interviews. Let's just segue right into the interviews. Is we have, I was actually pretty thrilled to get some time with one of our vice presidents. Actually, he's the president, Robbie Bach, who, let me just set people up so they know who Robbie is. So we've got the Live team, and everybody knows that Jay Allard's kind of like in charge of all of Xbox, and Peter Moore, those guys kind of work on those parts of the business together. They all report up to Robbie Bach. And Robbie Bach oversees, and you'll hear me talk about this in the interview, he oversees a large part of Microsoft. And then Robbie actually reports up to Steve Ballmer. And then Steve, of course, reports up to Bill Gates. So once I do the Robbie Bach interview, I will have actually interviewed everybody up the chain in Microsoft, including Bill Gates. For those of you that don't know, I interviewed him back at E3. But I have never interviewed Steve Ballmer, so I think I need to get that on the list of things to do here. So anyway, I was thrilled that I was able to get some time with Robbie Bach. And to really set it up here, he was in New York this week, and I grabbed him to talk about the announcements. And some of the announcements were around family settings. And specifically, we launched the Safety is No Game, Is Your Family Set campaign. So that's in quotes. Safety is No Game, Is Your Family Set campaign. And it was about to educate parents about the Xbox 360 and actually upcoming Vista, the settings in there that are going to allow parents and there's this other term called caregivers, the tools they need in their living room, online, in the community, as well as at the point of sale, to limit the games their children play, who they play with, as well as the movies they're watching, assuming they're encoded. We'll talk about that during that. So that's really kind of cool. And that actually kicked off this week and in New York, and Robbie was there, and he told me a little bit about that. There's a 20-city nationwide bus tour. There's this huge bus that's rolling around the city, and it's going to a bunch of places that it's probably coming to your town. So, but go up to Xbox.com, and I'll put the link up on the blog for that. But here's my interview with Robbie Bach. Well, first of all, good morning, Robbie.
Hey, good to be here with you.
So thank you for coming on the show this week. I know you've had a busy week in New York, and I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, it was a short visit to New York, but incredibly time-packed and hopefully impactful.
So tell me about some of the announcements that we made, because you're in charge. Let me just back up a little bit, because a lot of people may or may not know who are listening right now what you're in charge of. So you're president of the H&D division, is that?
No, I'm president of Entertainment Devices.
Okay.
So it's really the group that includes what we do in gaming.
Right.
It's also the group that includes what we do in the broader entertainment. So music, Zune.
Zune is under you.
Is in this group.
Yep.
The work we're doing in TV is in this group. Media Center is now in this group. It also includes a group that does mobile, our mobile phones. And so when you really look at it, it really puts all the assets that we need in place to create a really cool connected entertainment environment for people.
And you've got a lot of cool stuff. I mean, just all those things you tick through. That you get the coolest stuff. I'm surprised you don't have an office filled with you do behind the door there. You got all your cool gadgets. I thought my office was cool. Look at that.
No, well that's the way the team likes to keep all the cool stuff for themselves. So
Right. Occasionally
I get a few things that come up here. I actually have a Zune device now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm playing around with that a little bit. And I have a media center. And obviously a lot of Xbox stuff.
But let's talk about the announcements that you made this week in New York.
Sure.
And what they mean.
Well, the big thing that we tried to do in New York this week is really start launching an idea for people around citizenship and an appropriate way to deal with the wide variety of content that we have in the entertainment space.
Right.
Certainly the context of New York was about gaming and some of the things we're doing around gaming. But really, I think of this more broadly for all the things that we do in entertainment, taking an approach that is good for content so that people can create what they want, but also is helpful for parents so that they can manage what their kids are playing, what they're seeing. So in New York specifically, we had an important event at a trade show called Digital Life, which is at the Javits Center in New York.
I know a lot of my listeners went down to that this week.
Yeah, it's a very cool consumer event, opportunity for people to get in and actually see some cool technology,
yep.
See some cool things. And we did an announcement with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America and Best Buy, really around citizenship and the launch of a set of programs, including a bus that will be traveling the country to various locations to really educate parents.
So is that what happened to my tour bus?
Yeah, that's exactly. Your tour bus disappeared. Sorry. We repainted it overnight.
Yeah.
And so we're taking that campaign around the country. We're meeting with government officials, local people who are influential, and it's particular with parents, to try to educate them on all the tools we've put in place to enable them to help manage what their kids are playing and experiencing.
And one of the most visible ones specifically are the family settings on Xbox 360 and Xbox Live.
And as well on the upcoming release of Windows Vista.
Right.
So family settings really is a very important part of that. And
okay.
It's the idea that, you know, if you're a parent and you have kids who are playing games, there's opportunity for them to get to expose to a lot of different things, and you want to play a role in that.
Right.
And different parents have a different view of what their children can deal with, and kids are different too. It turns out some kids have a harder time dealing with some things than others, and so
right.
We want to put the tools in parents' hands so that they could say, hey, I only want my kids playing T-rated games or below. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, if you're on Xbox Live, I only want them playing with a certain set of people, mm-hmm. or I don't want the voice to be turned on, et cetera. And with all the capabilities we're creating in this space, it's important that we create those tools. And in Vista, we're doing exactly the same thing.
So we talked about the – let's tell me what the bus is going to do. The bus is traveling around the country?
The bus is traveling around the country. I don't know. When I grew up, the bus that came to our neighborhood was about reading.
Right.
If you remember –
the bookmobile.
The bookmobile and reading is fundamental. If you remember, if you remember those kinds of initiatives. And so for us, the bus is a way to go out and reach parents. We'll be going to stores with Best Buy. We'll be going to events in different communities. And basically, it's an opportunity for parents to come in, learn about parental controls and family settings, learn how to use them, and take the two or three easy steps that with their Xbox 360 in their home, they could suddenly be in control of what goes on with their children. And at the same time, it also gives people the ability to understand that, hey, there is going to be this wide range of content. And that's something we should celebrate as well.
The one thing we also want to point out is that even though this bus is North America based, but we also, you know, Vista and Xbox 360, the ratings, the family settings are global.
Yeah, they are. In fact, we work with, oh boy, it's probably 30 plus rating organizations around the world.
Right.
And if you go to Europe, there's a European system, but there's sort of multiple European systems. In fact, there's two in the UK. There's a PEGI system, which is used in continental Europe, but it's different in Germany. It's different in Finland. So it actually takes a lot of work on our part to put these systems in place. And again, to work locally to educate parents on what's available and what's appropriate.
So this is actually, I mean, the settings that are in the Xbox 360 and Vista, nobody else is really doing that right now.
No, today we're the only guys who've done it. Sony and Nintendo have announced plans to do it. We did this actually with Xbox One.
They also announced an online service.
Well, you can go there, I won't. But it really for us is a leadership thing. And it's more about... Family settings is an implementation tool.
Right.
To me, the broader initiative is actually more important. It's the principles around it. And, you know, the principles are really straightforward. One is that we're going to market our products appropriately.
Yep.
We're going to try really hard to avoid marketing the wrong products at the wrong time to the wrong people. The second principle is around family settings and giving parents tools. And you're going to see us be very aggressive about that, both in terms of education and in making sure the tools work. I will point out that the third principle is about content and creators' ability and right to be able to create what they want. We really don't want to be in a position where we're viewed as people who are editing content, where we're viewed as people judging what's good and bad content. I'm not a good judge of that. Nobody inside my organization would be. We'd be even less good judge outside the U.S. It's just not a practical role. And we do defend the rights of people to create what they want, even when there's things that, you know, for me, I don't think are appropriate for my kids or that I don't even like as content.
Right.
And then the final thing, which is sort of an internal thing in our principles, is we allow employees to opt out of working on specific projects if they feel uncomfortable with the content.
No, I didn't know that.
And we've probably only had four or five people take advantage of that over the last three or 4 years. But it's very important for employees to know they have that right. And so the combination of those things and getting out and being very public about this, I think the industry, frankly, has been a little defensive about content. And instead what we should be doing is being very proactive about education and investing heavily there, proactive about communicating the rating system and proactive about supporting it, and proactive about making sure legislators, key industry leaders know all the great things we're doing to be a productive and effective industry.
Now, the Xbox, I come from the Xbox 360 land, as you know.
Sure.
So obviously the console is really good with regulating what games you want to play and you went through all the ratings, but it also does DVDs.
It does, and in fact, the challenge in the DVD space, if you have a DVD that has been encoded with its rating on it, and you set it to PG-13, 360 will only pay PG-13 or less movies. The one difference in the movie space and our space is not 100% of the movies are actually encoded with a rating.
Right.
And that's something we hope the MPAA decides to undertake and to make part of their standard approach to these kinds of things. It's certainly what we do when we certify a game. Your game cannot be certified if we don't have a rating for every country in which you want to sell it.
So we're much more advanced in the gaming space in that respect.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would actually say in many respects, I think we do a better job. You know, our family settings, we really take seriously.
Right.
I mean, there aren't family settings on a DVD player.
Right. That's true.
And, you know, if you look at the TV system and the rating system on TVs and the way the V-chip works, I mean, people haven't really gotten behind that. It was mostly a political solution, not a real market solution. And our point of view is, hey, we're going to be around for 20, 30, 40 years. This issue doesn't change. Content has always been an issue in entertainment businesses. I mean, go back to books and The Catcher in the Rye.
Right.
People wanted to throw it out of schools.
Right.
Well, that's tame by today's standards,
right.
But the issue hasn't gone away, and so we want to be proactive about it.
So tell me about how the Best Buy and the Boys and Girls Club of America is kind of tied in here.
Well, Best Buy and Boys and Girls Club share in a couple of ways. Actually, we've already done one promotion with them.
Oh.
We actually sold, and in fact, you can still go into most Best Buys and buy one of those wrist bracelets.
Yep.
And inside that wrist bracelet is information for parents on family settings
mm-hmm.
and how the rating system works.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids get the bracelet. And the money from the bracelet goes to Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And then they implement that back into education programs, into technology programs in their clubs across country.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really nice partnership where you get kind of a win-win situation. And we're basically doing the same thing here. We're going to be developing curriculum that Boys and Girls Club will use. Best Buy wants to be involved because they want to host the bus.
Sure.
And they want to be part of the educating responsibly with their parents. They're also, their market position is, hey, we're the place you go if you want to get information.
Right.
When it comes to technical things, if you want to get information, Best Buy wants to be the place to go. And so they consider this part of that whole spectrum. And so they're going to be helping us with education. In-store signage is a big deal. We're working actually with all of our retailers to make sure parents know about the ratings.
So if people can't, I know the bus, I have the list someplace here of all the different places the bus is going, which is quite a bit.
Yeah.
But if the bus doesn't come to their area, they can just go up to Xbox.com.
They can go up to Xbox.com. A couple of sites I would recommend to you, really two. One is Xbox.com,
yep.
where you get a lot of information about this. The other one is the ESRB website.
Yeah.
Which I think is ESRB.com or .org.
Right.
I think it's .org, actually. But you can go up to those websites and in both cases get all the information you need. And they're the sites that parents should, you know, sort of bookmark and say, hey, I want to follow up and really understand kind of what it means. When you flip the box and it says descriptor, mild mischief.
Right.
Well, what does that
mean? Yeah.
Right. Well, the place to go is the ESRB website and it'll actually explain and tell you why a game got rated, what it got rated.
So those are great resources, but I got to ask you right away. I'm not going to ask you your gamer tag because I always ask that of all my guests, but I don't want to know your gamer score, but what are you playing right now?
With all
this spare time you have.
Well, the truth is, in our household, I'm not the one who plays a ton of games.
Okay.
And the one who plays a ton of games is my son, and he is right now deep into NBA Live. He's
okay.
a huge basketball nut.
Right.
So he's deep into NBA Live.
Right.
Playing a lot of, and he's been playing a lot of Madden, and he is dying for Splinter Cell.
Right.
He's a
Splinter Cell. Who isn't?
He's a Splinter Cell fanatic. He has it bookmarked when it's coming out, and then for some reason we're going to be out of town the date it's coming out, so he was super bummed about that, even though we're going on a kind of a fun trip.
Right.
He was super bummed about that because he's going to have to wait a week.
I'm sure his dad could probably make a call or two.
Well, no, see, this is part of our family thing,
right.
which is our kids don't get to play during the week.
Right.
And so if he misses the weekend when it comes out,
he's got to wait
a whole week to get on and play. So anyway, those are the titles that are big around our house right now.
What excites you the most about this program?
I think the thing that excites me most is well, actually two things. One, the partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
I think working with Best Buy and Boys and Girls Club is a great opportunity for all of us. I'm actually on the National Board of Governors for Boys and Girls Clubs of America, so it's a passion for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets me very excited to see us able to contribute back to what I think is a great cause. And then I think the second thing that's exciting for me is it's putting the industry in a different position. I really am tired of being in the, hi, we have a congressional hearing mode. Where, you know, somebody has to get called down to explain some set of things that are happening to some people, some of whom are very well educated about what we're doing, some of whom aren't very well educated about
right.
what we're doing. And when you get to the state level, the level of education and knowledge actually goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we face most of our challenges. So to me, this is about getting the industry out of the defense and more into being proactive
mm-hmm.
and really demonstrating what I think is a great story. I think the industry and Microsoft, you know, wants to be a big part of leading that. I've done a really good job here, and we're going to do more.
I guess, you know, a lot of my listeners are all going, wow, he's been called to the congressional hearing? That's got to be pretty heavy.
Well, thankfully, I haven't had to go testify yet. Peter Moore has. He
right.
can tell you that was fun.
Yeah.
He did it once about 4 or 5 years ago. Doug Lowenstein, who runs the ESA, is a regular
right.
on the Hill.
Right.
You know, and I've done a few state activities. Mostly what I do, and what I did some in New York last week, is meet with legislators and their staffs.
Great.
Because a lot of this information goes through the staff to the legislator to, you know, they look to their staff and say, hey, what's informed? The good news is a lot of the staff members we work with are gamers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how has that been received? I mean, you're meeting with these people. Are they scared of it? Are they embracing it?
Well, I think in general there's sort of the two sides to it. People are they love the fact that we're committed. They love the fact that we're trying to be proactive in doing things, and they think family settings is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, they still have – everybody you meet with still has their point of anxiety about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see a game and say, gosh, I disagree with that rating. Or they look at something in family settings and say, gosh, I wish there was time controls in family settings, which is a common request we get on the Xbox side.
Right.
That's something that'll actually be in Vista.
Right.
It's not something that's in Xbox today.
Maybe soon.
Maybe. Who knows? But it's certainly something. So everybody has their point of anxiety, but they are positive about the fact that Microsoft and other companies are saying, hey, there's something we can do about this proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And give them a positive story to go back to their constituents with.
Cool. Robbie, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you've had a busy week in New York at Digital Life and all these great announcements. I appreciate you just giving me a few minutes and explaining it to my listeners.
Well, the last thing, I'll just add
one
last comment for people, because I know a lot of your listeners are probably more in the gaming genre, family
right.
settings. Probably, I guess, the vast majority of your listeners don't have family settings set on their
machine. If you go over to the System Blade, you can kind of find this
option.
Find
it. Yeah, if you guys would like to find it. So on the one hand, you say, hey, maybe that isn't as interesting to them, but I want them to know a lot of what we're doing here is for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because to guarantee the future success of the industry, this is an issue we have to face.
Right.
And so to the extent we're successful facing this, it's going to mean they're going to get better content, better access to content, more freedom of expression in what they
right.
get to play, and hopefully more games that they think are really cool, rather than games that are people are trying to legislate.
Right.
And so it has kind of a funny connection with your audience, but I think it's important for them to at least know what we're trying to accomplish.
I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Thank you, Robbie. So, yep, he's excited kicking off the Safety is No Game, Is Your Family Set campaign, which is including a large bus that's hitting 20 cities nationwide across the North America and North America, this specifically United States. It's kicking off this week, and so check that out. Xbox.com has all the details. I'll put a link up there. So thank you, Robbie, for taking time. I know it's been a busy week for you, and hopefully you guys, if you have any family setting questions, feel free to post them here. I mean, that's probably not something that a lot of you guys know, but as Robbie pointed out during that interview towards the end there, this is something that we need to do in the industry in order to move the industry forward and make it bigger and make it better. So while, and I think it was brilliant that he really brought that point up, because it's true that even though a lot of listeners may not really care about it right now, it's something that needs to happen to mature the industry. So again, thanks, Robbie. All right, so the second interview, which I know that you guys probably really enjoyed that one, but I think you're really going to enjoy this one because it's entirely different direction, and it's our good friend Albert. For those of you that don't know Albert, Albert's been on the show in the past. He works on the accessories team. He's the product manager for accessories, which is pretty broad. He's got a bunch of different things he works on. Albert's a good friend of mine. I went to Tokyo with him last year and this year, and you'll hear a funny story in the middle of that about what happened at the train station this year. But more importantly, Albert is going to tell us about 1080p. There's been a lot of questions. We announced it a few weeks ago at TGS at the Xbox 360 dashboard upgrade, which is coming soon. It is not part of the maintenance that happens this week. I want to be clear with that. But the 1080p announcement, the 1080p, which will be enabled with the update that happens, later on this fall or later on this season, for those of you under the equator, the 1080p update is, there's been some questions about that. So I wanted to kind of get with Albert and ask him some specific questions about the implementation of it, because I haven't even seen it yet. I don't even have a 1080p TV here. Perhaps I do need to get one. So I wanted to really corner him, and it's always interesting just chatting with Albert, because this guy, he's hardcore video games, and you'll hear in a minute why. So here's our good friend Albert. This is the 1080p portion of the program. I have Albert in here. Hello, Albert.
Hello, Larry.
Actually, I'm in your office this time.
That's right, the toy room.
Let's talk about, I mean, it's hard. I'm not going to put a picture. Maybe I should put a picture of this. But
people asked last time.
You have got crazy stuff in here. Let's walk around your room for a second. Let's talk about it.
It's a man-child room.
It is a man-child room. It's first you've got the gas-powered scooter.
Uh-huh.
You're not screwing around with the electrical.
Yeah, no, it's all gas all the time.
And then behind you, I see that puppy.
Which probably actually has multiple meanings, all gas all the time. Yeah, I've got two Steel Battalion controllers, so take that, people who can't.
What do you need two for? Is it one a backup just in case?
Because I can say I own two.
Okay, that's cool.
That's why.
More, I think the theme in here is Star Wars.
There's a little bit of everything. We got some Star Wars figures. We got some Transformers.
Right.
We got some Migos. We got a Master Chief and Halo guys. We're all over the place. We got cars. Yeah, I mean,
and which one's that?
That's Darth Malak. That's the E3 Darth Malak statue that was in our booth. I procured it from the shipment company.
That must have been tough.
Well, it was, instead of shipping it to the warehouse, it was shipped to my office.
you just scratched off the shipping label and moved it to your office.
I'll tell you, the reason I do this is because, you know, at Microsoft, we move offices quite a bit.
Right.
And this is sort of my version of throwing the white flag up.
Right. If somebody comes in here, they're going, oh, no, we're not going to move Albert.
I can't actually tell you how many times people have come and looked at moves and go, I think we're going to leave Albert right where he is.
So your evil plan's working.
That's right. So the more I like an office, the more crap I put in it.
So I will take a picture of this and put it up on the blog. But I want to. You and I are getting together because of 1080p.
Yeah, we made the big announcement.
It was big. A lot of people were excited about that.
It was a Barcelona ton.
Yeah, remember that? That was fun. So just to be clear, you and I went to Tokyo together.
We did.
Well, not together. Can we tell the story?
If you want to tell the story.
I haven't told this story before. So I get to Tokyo, get off the plane, ran into you, and we're all on the same plane apparently. I was in the back, you were in the front, remember?
That's right.
And
you were with the common people.
I was with the common folk. And I get off the plane, and we're all hanging out there. We're going through customs, and we see Peter Moore. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking with Peter Moore, and Peter says, where did Albert and some of the other guys you were with go? And I said, oh, they went ahead. So you came running up the escalator at Narita Airport, grab Peter. You say, I bought you a train ticket. You threw it at him. We all go running downstairs. Meanwhile, I'm going, Albert, where's my ticket? You get your own. So I go try to stand in line. The train leaves, and I'm staying there by myself in Narita Airport. And you guys screwed me.
For an hour you waited, right?
Yeah.
For the next train. Look, the U.S. military has a leave no man behind policy.
You're not in the military.
We do not subscribe to that policy. God. In Tokyo is every man for himself.
Clearly.
I did not. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. We didn't know. We ran down. There was a plane.
You didn't know? You saw me with...
No, but I didn't. Yeah, you know.
All right.
Well, let's remind the viewers that your leave no man behind policy got erased pretty quickly.
Yes, it did. The next 2 days later.
Crew on a station. They had no idea. At least you... Wait in this line, get on this train. These people are in Tokyo Station. They have no idea where they're going.
Right.
And you waved goodbye as we all left on the train and you left them there.
Actually, it was Shinjuku. We weren't even at Tokyo.
Well, we weren't even at Tokyo. We're Shinjuku. So they need to get to Tokyo and then get to Makuhari.
Which is not easy.
It's not easy if you know how to do it.
Right. And it was, anyway, but you're touche.
You
got me back for that. But I want to talk about 1080p because you're the 1080p expert.
That's a frightening statement.
Or one of them. So what does the announcement of 1080p mean to the Xbox 360 gamer?
So, you know, it was fun because we got a lot of questions about this and there was a lot of FUD. Meanwhile, the...
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. There was a lot of... Meanwhile, you know, all the while, the technology gnomes here at Xbox were cranking away feverishly to support it. But I didn't obviously want to say anything about it to anybody because,
right.
You know, you got to do the work first.
Right.
Basically, what it means is that we are going to enable true, full, native 1080p... support for movies and games through VGA when we release the fall update for
right.
the console.
Right. So it's not – so I actually asked a bunch of folks about this, and they actually posted a ton of questions. So can I ask you some of these?
Go for it.
So
these are real reader questions.
These are real questions directly off the blog because last week I said I'm going to probably get somebody on. I said I'm going to try really hard, and you graciously agreed to clear off your schedule from eating ice cream and have me in here. So one of them is, are there any announced or planned 1080p native games? And the answer is
we just made the announcement and the announcement that we made in order to keep it a surprise and actually make it an announcement. We hadn't told the developers yet either.
Right.
So the answer is there isn't anything to say right now. They found out about it about the same time that everybody else found out
right.
about it.
So we'll probably start seeing some of that maybe 6 to 12 months down the line.
That's right.
Right. So that's a pretty way to go. So is it going to support – I'm just actually going down the bullet points. Is it going to support 1080p via the VGA adapter or component?
Yes. So what we actually announced – and the announcement was kind of confusing.
Let's straighten it out.
So we'll straighten it out. What we announced was – true native 1080p support through VGA and through component.
Okay.
And there's some nuances because for movies, that means DVD movies and HD DVD movies, will not support 1080p through component.
Okay.
There's no technical reason that they can't do that. There's rights management issues around that. So the component part of the equation is a little bit confusing.
Right.
So we've sort of just been saying, look, it's VGA. If you plug it in through VGA, you'll get 1080p games and 1080p movies.
Right.
Most 1080p TVs, as a matter of fact, every single 1080p TV we've seen has VGA input and supports 1080p through VGA. So we're sort of just saying, yes, there are some component 1080p TVs. We found that there was TVs that supported 1080p through component that didn't even claim that they did.
Oh.
But when we plugged it in, it actually worked.
Right.
But again, because that's only for games and not for movies, we're just sort of sticking to VGA. So the safe bet is VGA.
But if you're just going to play games, you're never going to look at movies.
Then you happen to find a TV that'll do 1080p through component.
Then you're good to go.
Then you're good to go.
Got it. Okay. What happens to backcompat in 1080p?
Upscales.
They're going to upscale.
So this is, the whole upscaling versus native debate gets really, really complicated because it varies by game and what the developer chooses to do. And Sony has decided to say that we are only upconverting,
right,
which for games that are designed for 720p will be upconverted to 1080p. And that includes your existing DVDs and your Xbox 360 games.
Right.
If a developer decides to do a native 1080p game, we will also support that.
We'll be there.
So we are doing both. But again, that is exactly what Sony is doing.
Right.
Not even Sony will say not every one of their games is native 1080p. Some of them are 720p native. Most of the third-party games will be 720p. And they will be up-converted to 1080p or down-converted to 480i if you have just a regular old television set.
Now, you spent a lot of time when we were in Tokyo together and I was doing my thing and you were out on the floor looking at – you were over at the Sony booth. You were at our booth and you've been doing this. Can you tell the difference between 720p and 1080p?
The answer – it's weird. There's so many different things that factor into what makes a game look good.
So let's go through some of those. I think you said there's like three of them.
I was kind of talking about the fact that you basically have resolution, frame rate, and graphical fidelity.
Okay.
And those three things are what a developer is trying to balance out.
Right.
You can raise the frame rate and lower the resolution.
Right.
You can raise the frame rate and lower the graphical fidelity. You can raise the graphical fidelity and lower the resolution and lower the frame rate. And that balance, that sweet spot, is what we've been talking about when we talk about the 720p sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that in order to get tons of graphical effects, the lighting effects, the 4x anti-aliasing, all the bump mapping and all that graphic stuff that I can't even talk about, that people like Chris Satchel and those guys will go on about, you have to... 720p is the right high def resolution to enable lots of those effects.
Got it.
If you want,
so it's almost the perfect storm for all of those elements.
Right, and that's why a lot of that's why the content that's being broadcast is at 1080i and 720p. They have to make all the same trade offs.
Right.
What Sony decided to do was they decided to take their graphical fidelity down, less effects, less lighting, and bump up the resolution and frame rate. So some people will say it looks better. And some people say it looks worse. To me, I think that, Resistance didn't even look as good as Call of Duty at launch.
Right.
It was very flat. There wasn't a lot of depth. There wasn't a lot of detail. There wasn't a lot of effects. And then you look at a game like Gears of War that looks unbelievable. So I would say, can I tell a 1080p game? Yeah, because usually the graphics are lower, but the frame rate's higher.
Oh, interesting.
Now, I can tell a 720, but I'll say this, whether I think Gears of War looks better than Resistance, I'll get the same grief on the boards that you get.
Yeah.
I work here, right?
Right.
But I always tell people, let the people decide when it comes out. I will be happy when the game actually comes out and people can either decide they can disagree or agree with me
And they can look at it themselves.
They can look at themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're right. Because
look at the screenshots online, Gears of War has so much more richness, so much more detail. It's still 720p. It's 30 frames a second. It looks great. they decided to go a different route, and that means they have to lower the graphical fidelity.
And I must stop right now, because if this is the first show you've ever listened to of mine, Albert, you've been a guest on before. You've spent a long time in the video game industry.
Many years.
Like, you started at Sega, was it?
Like Sega in the 90s. I spent 6 years at EA.
So this
I've been in this, I was trying to figure out, like, probably 18 years now in the game.
18 years in the video. So you're probably, you've spent more time in the video game industry working than some of these listeners may be old.
That, you know, considering the fact that the early part of our show we're talking about the man child and the action figures, it's a frightening thought.
But you, what I'm saying is you're uniquely qualified to make some of these comments because you've played tons of games.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's an understatement.
So. Yeah, I played tons of games, been on every system. I mean, look, there's a lot of guys out there that today probably play more games than I do. So,
right.
But I, you know,
what's your gamer score?
My gamer scores are so freaking low. It's unbelievably sad. I think I'm barely like in the 2,000 or 3,000.
Send Albert a friend request.
No, as I get the friend request from, hey, you didn't accept my friend request last time. But no, I mean, I look at everything for a very short period of time and
right.
spend a little bit of time. But I think most of the guys that played a lot of games out there will tell you that you can kind of get a sense of a game
right
pretty quickly.
Yeah, it is pretty easy to do. All right, I got some other questions here that some people have
back
asked
on track.
Let's get back on track because we're all over the place. So we talked about you don't need an HDMI port to do 1080p.
Right. So yeah,
let's talk about that.
This is another one that appears to boggle people's minds because they've gotten Sony the messaging so in their head that HDMI equals 1080p. It's the only way you can do it. What I like to remind people is anybody who has a PC has been running high resolutions on their PC monitors for years.
Over VGA.
Over VGA.
Right.
1280 by 1024 has been the – now, I mean, God, I can't even do my sort of 4x3 math anymore.
Right.
But 1920 by 1080 resolutions or higher through VGA has been done for years now.
Right.
There's nothing magical about running high resolutions at fast frame rates through VGA. It's been done for years.
Right.
When I remind people of that, the sort of I can see the light bulb go on over their head.
Right.
And that's all it is. And really, to give the history, you know, people ask, why is this happening now? It's simple. When we did the console, there were no 1080p TVs. So we couldn't even test 1080p because it didn't exist. Now that there's 1080p TVs, we plug it in, we enable the resolution. We've always said it's the most powerful console. We've always said it's as powerful, if not more powerful in certain ways, than PlayStation. All we had to do was get some TVs, plug it in, enable the resolution and software, do some testing, make sure that everything works the way it's supposed to work, and we enable the feature.
That, another question or a lot of misconception is the fact that if it does 1080p, when the Xbox 360 is outputting at 1080p, that it's going to use more processing power. And that's just not the case.
No, it's not. It's, I mean, if you want, when it's outputting at 1080p, it's not going to use more processing power.
Right.
If someone wants to do a native 1080p game, it's back to what we discussed earlier.
Right.
They're going to have to make performance trade-offs, just exactly the same way that Sony's going to have to make performance trade-offs between games in that resolution.
So you actually also work on the HD DVD drive, right?
Yes, indeed.
You got all. You're the accessories guy.
Yeah, that's why I refer to you. The console and accessories. That's right. That's me.
So that's you got probably one of the best jobs because you get all the cool swag before I do. All right. Here's some other questions. Here's a misnomer. Can USB support the data transfer rate for 1080p? You need HDMI, right?
Yeah, that's a verbatim question.
That's
too,
a verbatim
right?
question, right?
You know, that's sort of a mixed metaphor question. So I think there's two questions there.
Okay.
One is, can you get all that 1080p data off the HD DVD
right.
through USB? Obviously. Yes, you can.
We've done it.
Another thing I like to remind people is open up your PC, open up the Toshiba player that came out, open up the Samsung player.
You'll void your warranty, let me be clear.
Yeah, that's right. No warranties express or implied. But you'll find that, guess what? Surprise, it's not like the drive is soldered onto the motherboard. There's a cable. Now, in that case, it's a different kind of cable.
Right.
It's SATA or it's whatever, ATA.
Right.
In our case, it's USB. It's transferring data from one place
to another.
So
it's just a data path.
It's just a data path.
So this one actually has been a lot of concerns. Will I be hosed when the ICT flag or HDCP protection is implemented because the 1080p will be limited to 540p? That stops.
And then it stops. No stops. Punctuation.
No punctuation. Yeah, I'm sorry. So let's talk about the flags and what that means.
This is one that came up. I saw a lot on your comment section after I did the interview, the infamous one where I said, HDMI doesn't matter.
Right, right.
You know, where I was sort of like, while I may have technically said that, it might have been misinterpreted what I meant.
Right.
I talked about the fact that the ICT flag wasn't going to be up, or I didn't actually get a chance to really address the ICT right. flag thing. So here's the deal with that. There is a bit that you can flip in both Blu-ray and HD DVD as part of the copy protection that says if the signal coming out of the box is not – well, I shouldn't even – it's not even coming out of the box. If the player detects that you don't have a digital connection at some point in the chain, mm-hmm. it will down-convert the resolution from 1080p to 540p.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, anybody that can do 540p math says that's actually 1080p. Well, 540p, is that what it is? That's actually 1080i.
Right.
Right, so just to do the math. So it's basically going to down-convert it from 1080p to 1080i. Now, yes, it's true. That flag exists in the technology. It exists in our player. But
because it has to.
Because it has to. It's part of the spec. But yep. there's a couple of things. There's some context that needs to be put around this. And the first is that this isn't just a problem on the player side. This is actually a problem on the TV side. Meaning that even if we did have HDMI or HDCP, that's the digital copy protection, in Xbox 360, we just did some projections or got some projections from an independent company that looked at all the HD sets sold from 2002 being projected to sell through 2009.
Okay.
So it was like every set sold.
It looked back and it looked
forward. Looked back and projecting forward. And the projection says that about 55%, maybe it was 58% of TVs, of all HD TVs sold from 2002 to 2009 would have HDMI or some sort of digital copy protection, which means 40% of the TVs out there do not.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot.
Right.
A lot of TVs between 2002 and, you know, in 7 years that right. are getting sold right when it's the sweet spot. So I can't say that for sure it's not going to be a problem someday. It's been sort of widely reported that the studios have said this is not something that they want to do because it really doesn't. Think about the people who probably don't have HDMI. They're probably the people who bought their TVs a couple of years ago. They paid twice as much as everybody else did.
Right.
they're probably early adopters. So it's the people who are sort of on the cutting edge that are most likely to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really the people that you want to affect. So turning on this flag isn't really an issue for us. It's an issue for everybody, and it's an issue for a lot of people that have sets that don't have HDMI. So that's the context around it. Personally, the other point I kind of like to say is it's not as if the studios don't know what we're doing. I mean, we obviously are working closely with Universal on King Kong.
Did you work on
that?
For
the bundle? Yeah, we worked with Universal to get King Kong in there. And, you know, all the studios that are releasing HD DVD movies, they understand. They know what's going on. So there's a lot of discussions going on behind the scenes. And, of course, nobody's going to publicly come out and say, we're never going to turn the flag on.
Right.
There's a reason it's there.
Right.
But do I personally think that it's going to be a problem in the existing life cycle of consoles?
Right.
I don't. I'd be very surprised
right.
if it ever comes to pass.
These are the opinions of Albert and do not represent.
No warranties are expressed
or implied.
But I want to be sure that people have that context because they make it appear like it's just going to be a problem for us.
So how, you know, let's talk about the HD DVD player for a second, which is really cool. So let's talk price.
Yeah, we announced $199. It includes
in the United States.
In the U.S. price and sort of around that price in your local currency.
Right.
I think it's 129 pounds, 199 euros.
Right.
And then it's 199 Canadian, 199 U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong on the Canadian price.
We'll check that.
But it comes with the Universal Media Remote.
Which is what?
Which is the – there. So
is that the one that was shipped originally?
No. Well, there was originally a small remote that came in the Pro's consoles that shipped at launch.
Right. That was limited edition.
Right. The one that you buy at retail, I think it's $29.95, the one that also has TV functionality,
yep.
the bigger remote.
Yep.
So that comes in the system. And it's slightly – it has some slight button changes to support –
Do you have one?
I don't have the actual one that's going in the HD DVD. I should say button label changes.
Got it.
Meaning that the functions are slightly different. If you have an existing Universal Media Remote, it would still work.
It's going to work fine.
And then a copy of the HD DVD version of King Kong.
Wow.
Which I think we actually are going to get before it even goes to retail. I think we're going to beat the the retail ship date of that by a date.
Well, that's kind of cool.
By a day or two.
So this thing, so you've actually been, I haven't even played with mine yet, or I don't even have one, but it just plugs in the back and you're off to the races.
Ah, it's totally seamless. I've been fooling around with it at home. The cool thing about King Kong is that it's nice.
How many times have you seen King Kong?
I'm a big, you know, I got to meet Peter Jackson.
That's
in,
right.
He
was
in,
standing
in
behind
Barcelona.
Me. At Barcelona when I was blogging. I didn't know who the hell it was.
And I thought to myself, you know, I'm sure a million people talk to him about Lord of the Rings, but I'm a big fan of King Kong, and of course,
really?
I expect to see a lot of people, which had nothing to do, by the way, with the decision. It just so happens,
right?
King Kong was a movie. Actually, it was probably one of my favorite movies last year,
right?
And so it was nice to actually tell him how much I enjoyed the movie, because to him, he probably gets one person out of every 1,000 that
right.
talks about liking King Kong,
right?
But I'll tell you the great thing about that movie is. A lot of the stuff that's been coming out for HD DVD is catalog titles,
mm-hmm.
Which means that they're movies that were filmed, you know, 3-4 years ago.
On film stock.
On film stock.
Right.
Now we're actually getting a movie that was filmed in HD
right.
with HD in mind. And I got to tell you, I mean, the King Kong on HD DVD is unbelievable. It hasn't been reviewed, and people are starting to see the reviews for things like Batman Begins,
right.
Which is probably another movie that's right on the cusp of thinking about HD when they were filming. But King Kong looks nuts. I mean, it's so amazingly beautiful in HD, and I think it's going to be one of those movies that people will really recognize the generational
link right.
between DVD and HDTV. So it's a great, I think it's a movie that a lot of people will like. It's fun. It's got, you know, it's got good action, but it's going to be a showcase.
It's also going to be one of those that you're going to, it's like, it's probably like everyone who listens to this show, like me, when I have someone over the house and they want to see my HDTVD, you turn on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're going to put on the fight scene. You're
right.
going to put on that T-Rex fight
right.
scene and your mind will explode.
What else have you seen on the HD-DVD player in terms of what other movies? Have you seen any?
I've been spending a lot of time with that. I got a chance to see Fast and Furious, which, you know, your mileage may vary on the review of the movie, but it's also a movie that was made in
right.
the HD era.
Right.
It looks great. I think a lot of the newer stuff, Batman, I've gotten a chance to play around with that for a while. It looks
right.
crazy. And, of course, that's a great movie, too. So there's a lot of good stuff coming out on HD-DVD. The Superman's coming out this holiday.
Yep.
Like I said, Batman. You're going to see a lot more new releases. So,
do you have? I'm just going to. We're going to wrap it up here, but I want to see if you have any other comments to make about the 1080p thing, or you know, where we're going and what we're doing and what it means.
No,
I do want to ask you one question.
Sure.
Where is it? Let's talk about HDMI.
What about it?
There's been a lot of people requesting HDMI cables or an HDMI box.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that? What do you tell people to say?
Here's what I said. I said that what people wanted, I think, well, every time – I have to be careful now what I say, because it'll be – first off, this will be taken out of context and posted on 1,000 different websites
right
after it airs. So I'll be more cautious and try and not make bold, unsubstantiated claims like nobody cares. But I think what a lot of people were pushing for in HDMI was 1080p.
Yeah.
Right. So there's two things. There's this belief that the digital connection is better. We could do a whole technical thing about the pros and cons of digital versus analog connection. But I think what people were really asking about was 1080p. And so one of the reasons why I was kind of trying to hold off is I knew we were going to make this announcement.
Right.
So I think for the majority of people, we have solved one of the big issues that they had,
right.
which was we can now do native, true. And I'm going to say this over and over again because, 5 minutes later, Phil Harrison or somebody's going to come up and say, no, they're only up converting.
Right.
Real native,
this
true
is it.
1080p, the real deal.
Right.
That was a big feature of 1080p that we didn't have. And now we've basically taken that feature away. We're totally at parity. So now the question comes, now you're more into the people who are concerned about the digital connection and things like that. And we've said, look, there's nothing that prevents us from doing it. I'm never going to say never.
Right.
I would not stop myself from buying an Xbox 360 because of it, mostly because every HD TV that supports 1080p also has a VGA plug. We went to Best Buy.
Yep.
We gone to Costco. If it's got 1080p, it's got VGA. If it supports it through HDMI on that set, it supports it through VGA.
And we've supported VGA out of the Xbox 360 since launch.
Since launch. So all the people who've already bought a console, they can take advantage of this feature. They can take advantage of 1080p if they want to upgrade their TV. So I think we've taken a lot of the steam out of the need for the port.
Right. The
by
angst.
Enabling, the angst around the need for the port by enabling the feature of 1080p through VGA. But I'm never going to say never.
Yeah. That's all right. That's cool. I want to talk about some of the other accessories. Like
sure.
the wireless headset. Well, I'm looking at the packaging on your desk. So we're talking about the wireless.
Don't say that.
Well, I'm going to come in here and take pictures. So the wireless The wireless headset's coming out this holiday.
Wireless headset's coming out. It's awesome.
Did we announce the price on that? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't even know. You would know better than I would.
You know, the problem is there was a... Oh, man, we made so many great announcements between Nexus 6 and TGS.
Yeah.
That even I get lost in the details.
So we got the wireless headset. We've got the wheel.
We got the racing wheel coming out. I think we have announced a price. I think we said it was going to be $149 for the wheel, and it comes with PGR.
Right.
Force Feedback Edition.
Right.
I think we said $59.99 for the
wireless headset.
Wireless headset. And if we hadn't, then this part of the section will be bleeped.
We'll be edited.
And we said it was going to be beep.
Exactly. So what else what are some of the other accessories we announced? Those three. I got you here, so I'm going to drill you on them.
Well, let's see. We've got the player coming out. Yep. We've got a bunch of cool new faceplates. We've got a Halo faceplate coming out. That's
yeah, you've
cool.
got it over there.
Which is on my console. We've got the wireless headset, the wireless racing wheel. We also have the PC, wireless PC adapter. That's going to be out late in the year. Might be end of December, early January.
Okay.
And that's going to let you use the headset and the wheel.
With your PC.
With your PC. Of course, we have the Vision camera.
Of course.
That just launched. Yep. And you know, I think people are getting a kick out of that.
So, there's just a ton of cool stuff coming out. What are you most excited about?
I got a schlep for the company here. Gears of War, man. I mean, the thing looks freaking unbelievable.
Really?
I'm totally looking forward. And I got a chance to play it, and it's so different and cool. There's just a lot of great games coming out.
Yeah.
Gears is at the top of my list. One of the ones I was really looking forward to is Lego Star Wars, believe it or not.
I finished that.
Yeah, that game's great.
Yeah, speaking of Star Wars, isn't that fun?
It is tons of
fun. It's not just good for the kids, but the sight gags in it are just funny.
Yeah, and the little cinematics are hilarious. Yeah. You know, I was a big fan of Dead Rising. I'm really looking forward to Lost Planet, the first part.
Oh, everybody is.
Lost Planet looks unbelievable.
What are you playing now?
Right this second, mm-hmm. I'm playing with the HD DVD player.
So you haven't had a chance.
I haven't had a chance. I spent some time with Dead Rising, and I kind of have been on hold because, you know, I'll take some time off at the end of the year on vacation and I'll catch up on my gaming.
So, my listeners are going to actually, they're going to hold you up to this. They need your gamer score to be doubled by the end of the year.
Oh, good God. I think my wife might not be in line for... Sorry, hon.
Sorry, hon.
House project's going to have to wait.
I got to double it.
I got to double.
All right. Well, I think we went through most of the questions that everybody asked. I mean, we couldn't get to them all because some of them, frankly, didn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, that's right. Boys and girls, punctuation matters.
Please stay in school. Education is good.
Please stay in school.
Here's actually one that I just noticed. So people are saying, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'll just lob it over to you anyway. So if there's a game on Xbox 360 and the PS3, is it going to look just as good as the PS3 version?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that's what we want to leave people with, is that 1080p.
No doubt about it.
1080p is gets back to the balancing those three elements of the gaming.
Right.
That the people,
you know,
need to be
again, here's what I think. I think for third-party games, really, they're going to look just as good on both platforms.
Right.
I think we're going to have a better online experience.
Please, yeah.
And then I think their first party is going to go do interesting things, and our first party is going to go do interesting things. But, you know, I don't think the decision to buy that console is anything to do with power, horsepower
right.
at all.
Right.
You know, I think it really comes down to, do you want to play a bunch of great games? Because we got a bunch of great games. We've got Platinum Hits titles coming out.
Yeah.
That we've announced. We've got a broader spectrum of games. We announced Grand Theft Auto is going to have exclusive content.
Assassin's Creed.
Holy
cow.
You know, I love those kinds of announcements. Now we're on a tangent again where it's like everybody was holding. We did this twice so far. First time we did it was with Fight Night.
Right.
Where everybody was like, oh my God, Fight Night cannot be done on the Xbox 360.
Right.
And then we ship it and it's basically exactly what they showed.
But not only ship it, but we actually announced it and then like 2 hours later it was on Marketplace.
Right. And then everybody was like, oh, but Assassin's Creed could never be done on Xbox. And then we show Assassin's Creed,
yeah.
And everybody's going, you know, oh, my God, right? So
while they were doing that to the trailer or to the gameplay and to Jade.
Yes, Jade Raymond is a lovely individual.
Anyway, it's pretty amazing when you look at some of the, like I say, the announcements.
I always look to say this. If you like games, right, the stuff that we announced it between TGS and Nexus 6, between Blue Dragon, between Lost Odyssey, and then we made the GTA announcement. We made the announcement about BioShock. We made the announcement about Splinter Cell, Assassin's Creed coming, Banjo's coming, Halo Wars. I mean, come on.
The list goes on.
The list goes on.
What about the Wii? Are you excited about the Wii as a gamer? I know I am. I never got a chance to play it. I think you did.
No, I haven't. I actually haven't got my hands on it. I didn't want to wait in line at E3. You know what? I am interested in it for two reasons. Obviously, Nintendo's going to always come up with something fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look, everybody, it's like the GameCube thing. I think I know for sure I'll probably buy two or three games for it across the life of the platform and be happy with it. I'm actually the sort of more techie in me is really interested in how well this controller is really going to work, because I actually think that you're seeing the tide turn and people are starting to realize that, you know, playing that thing for extent, like I can't playing Zelda for 40 or 60 hours with that thing. Is that really what you want to do? I mean, is that how tiring is that?
I had somebody on my blog. I don't remember who it was, and I apologize because I don't remember your name. But when we shipped Totem Ball last week, they're like, yeah, Totem Ball's kind of fun, but my arms hurt. And if I'm going to go cancel my pre-order of the week because my arms hurt.
Yeah, and it's so hard.
It may not be right for some people.
I don't know. I have a feeling that sort of, you know, Peter's Wii 60 thing is there's some truth to that, because I think if you really want to play the core games, we're a great value.
Right.
You know, we've got the $299 core SKU and then the $399 with all the goodies. And so we're right in the middle. We're obviously, you know, 10 times more powerful than they are from graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fun. I think you're going to bust that thing out. Look, I still bust Donkey Kong. I mean, if I'm not dating myself. But, I mean, every once in a while, I like to bust out Donkey Kong when I'm just sort of in that mood.
Right.
I think that that people will do that for that. But I don't think, like, outside of the Marios and Zeldas and Mario Parties that you're going to decide that you're going to play Madden on that, right?
Right.
I think Madden, you're going to decide you'd rather sit back with a controller and your buddies and play online.
Right.
You know.
And not do, you know.
But I'm interested to see what they come up with.
Yeah,
so, you know,
I think we all are.
Yeah.
I think we all are. I mean, I remember we, because you have a DS, right?
Oh, yeah.
You totally. You have the old school one, though, right?
No. I have the blue one that you can get in Japan.
That's right. It's the other guy we were talking to who had the old school.
Yeah, that's right. The gigantic one.
as you call the gigantic one.
I don't know how you can carry it around.
We didn't go to Akihabara this time.
You and I didn't.
You and I did. You did. And I heard you scored some cool stuff.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately I was traveling from Tokyo to Spain.
Right.
And so I couldn't do my obligatory four bags of toys.
Right.
But, I did manage to ship a bag.
What was the coolest thing you found at Akihabara?
Some Star Wars Kubricks that I was looking for.
Oh, do you have them here?
Some random. No, they're at home.
So there's even more of this stuff at home?
Oh yeah, this isn't even scratch the surface.
Nerds. Exactly. All right, Albert, I'm going to let you go, but can I come back tomorrow and take a photo?
Always. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me clean up my office.
Yeah, well, don't clean up too much. But and then I'm going to have you on the show again. Maybe in a few months. You are a permanent welcome guest.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, my friend.
Take care.
Hopefully, Albert cleared up some questions you may have about 1080p. I'm sure that there'll be people posting on the blog and elsewhere about, he forgot about X, or he forgot about Y, or what about this. So I tried to answer as many questions as I could. But thank you for everyone that posted some comments on there. And like I say, Albert's always fun to interview, and he's a fascinating individual. I think you'll agree there. Let me pull up my show notes here and see what else. Oh, so what am I playing this week? I am playing, Dig Dug, of course. Just Cause. I played a little bit of Just Cause. Really like the parachute portion of that game. That's fun. Which is kind of like a GTA / Saints Row, you're on a tropical island kind of thing. So it's open-ended style. I need to get back into Saints Row. I haven't had time to get into that for some reason since I've gotten back from traveling. I haven't given it my full focus attention. I got into Just Cause. Played Dig Dug, of course, this week. Got a couple of achievements there. And Splinter Cell demo, which I downloaded Saturday morning, that went out. Let me want to talk about that for a minute. A lot of people have been asking about the marketplace and all the activity on the marketplace. So generally speaking, we used to not post content on the weekends, and we still don't like to do that for a lot of different reasons. But what we have done is the operations team that works on all of the content and getting it up onto the marketplace, they are staffed 24/7, and we've now, because there's so much content going into the marketplace, we're now putting content up almost 24 hours a day through the week. So that's why you'll see random posts from me a certain time. And I got to tell you, there's so much content going up on a marketplace. I got to tell you, I can't keep track of it all. And I think I'm falling behind on notifying you guys. I'm going to always get the big stuff, but there's a lot of little stuff that I'm not grabbing. And it's frustrating because I just don't have enough time to do it. And there's so much content that's going up. So that's what's going on. The other thing that, that you need to be aware there's a lot of content coming. The the Phantasy Star Online demo, or excuse me, the beta went out this week, and that's, you know, that's important. The Splinter Cell demo went out, and let me tell you what happened there. Essentially, what happened there was it was ready towards the end of the week, and we all wanted to, basically the executives made a decision that, you know what, this is a huge demo, people are waiting for this, let's put it out there. So that's why it went out really early Saturday. I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning is when it went out Pacific time. So you know, we do make rare exceptions, but for generally speaking, we only like to put content up on the marketplace Monday through Friday. But you know what, that Monday through Friday is now almost 24 hours. You never know when stuff is going to show up. So, you know, the Phantasy Star demo, went out this week, of course. The Splinter Cell demo went out this week. There's just, you never know what's going to happen. So that's the deal with Marketplace. So getting back to what I was playing, when I took a kind of a windy side trip here, I also started getting back into Test Drive Unlimited. Paul Bunyan, who is, one of the guys in charge of Live here, he and I were playing it over the weekend. And it was Saturday night. It was funny because I was going around, and I don't remember who it was. If you listen to my show, you'll know who you are. It's quite a few people did this. In the game, you can take photos, and eventually you're going to be able to, you can upload those photos to the Test Drive Unlimited site, and eventually you're going to be able to retrieve them in your web browser. And, I had people who were following me around in my car, and it was the Noble. I ended up getting the Noble. And people were like tracing me down because they wanted to get a shot of them with me in my car, you know, a Major Nelson shot. So it was kind of peculiar that way. So I'm sure we'll start seeing those pop up all over the place. So a few people were chasing me down all over the island yesterday for that. Again, Test Drive Unlimited, I just think it's really ingenious what they've done. Some of the Live integration, I think it's really interesting. I really do enjoy the way they've done some of the work there. So let me see how my Vista install is going here. Sorry about that, guys. Not that you want to listen to me doing this. Looks like it's going well. So that's the story there. Of course, Marketplace, you can go up and see what's going on there. I talked about that earlier in the site. Let's see what's going on. Xbox Live Arcade Wednesday, there will be a release this week. I don't know what it is yet. I think I know what it is, and I think you guys are going to like it. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure you guys are really going to like this one. So, assuming that's what it is, things change at the last minute. But if things are headed in the direction that I think they're headed, and that I've heard that they're headed, then you're going to likey. All right, let's see. Name the game time. What do you say we do name the game? All right, here's the name of the game sound effect from last week. See, I can sound like a lot of different things. Could sound like maybe the lawnmower in Dead Rising, or you know, a few other things. But what it was the vehicle the Quota from Saints Row. So Saints Row was the right answer. You remember the Quota? The Quota is the, I think it's a three-wheel meter-made wagon that you kind of jump into, and it flips over pretty easy, as I found out. So congratulations to everybody that sent in a correct entry. If you guess Saints Row, then you're everybody's a winner that listens to this program. So everyone's a winner. But specifically, the winner for this week is Highlander9833. Congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. So wear that proud and loud and have fun. So that clears the way for another Name the Game for this week and another chance for you to win a Major Nelson headset. So let's roll that clip right now. Gee, you think it's a racing game? That's my only clue. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email. Major@xbox.com is how you reach me. In the subject line, please put name the game, colon, and then your guess. And then in the body of the email, please put your gamer tag. And if you want to, include where you're from, because I'm always wondering where my listeners check in from around this planet Earth. So good luck to everybody. And it's a little bit harder this week, but the hint is it's a racing game. Well, all right, maybe it's not a hint. I don't know. But good luck to everybody that's going to enter. Major@xbox.com is how you hit me. You can also send me anything else there. I try to read every single email I get, but some of them just, you know, because I get so many. I mean, I'm getting like 1,000 emails a week there. And here's a little clue, guys. Try to make it really crisp and clear. Like, some people like to send me volumes, like thousands and thousands of words. Just kind of get to the point. Just cut to the chase. You know, I'm happy to chat with you. But really cut to the chase, because I want to know what point you're trying to pull out, or what the point is you're making. Because I do try to read them all, because people really do make some good points. Also, don't send it as urgent because it's probably not urgent. People send me urgent emails all the time. Urgent, I have to know immediately when this is coming out. My friend tells me this, and first of all, I don't answer questions like when things are coming out. You should know that. But anyway, major@xbox.com is how you do that. You know, I didn't talk about this, but I'm going to Toronto, Canada this week. They're doing an XO6 event on Wednesday. So I will be traveling Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be traveling Tuesday. I leave during the day Tuesday, which is when our maintenance will be happening. Wednesday is the event, and then Thursday I'll be back. So I look forward to meeting some of the folks that are going to be up there in Canada. I don't. This is not a public event, so I know that it's an invitation only event that they're schlepping me in for. But I'm hearing that y'all have snow up there in Toronto. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. You know, ever since I moved here from the East Coast, that's one thing I do not miss. I miss a lot of things. One of them is not the snow. So I'll have to see if I even have boots anymore. So if you see somebody walking around Toronto, Canada in New Balance sneakers, well, it's probably me, and poorly dressed at that. So I look forward to that. I'll see if there's anything there. I'll be sharing some photos from that event as well. There's also a series of Gears of War events that are coming up, and I don't know how, I don't know where I'm going to be for those, but those are happening, over the next few weeks. I think there's one in LA. I think there's one on the East Coast that I'm trying to angle for. We'll see if I'm successful in that one. A couple other things going on. Of course that, what else? The Zune launch is coming up. Zune is upon us. A lot of folks are involved with that from our team. So, let's go into the geeky, speaking of Zune, let's go into the geeky and gadget section, of that. I installed a Vista on, or I got a new ThinkPad this week, ThinkPad T60P, which is smoking. This thing is blindingly fast, but I flattened it and put in, so what we call it in computers when you reinstall, you know, flatten it, pull everything off and put on Vista. And, so now I'm running Vista on a couple of machines, and so far so good. And also people asked me to talk more about the Pioneer Gaming audio system that I mentioned in last week's show. So I should, mention that is the Pioneer HTS GS1. And from what I've seen, I highly, highly recommend this thing. This is actually a licensed audio system. So feel free to, it's a little pricey, but I think you'll agree that it's pretty worth it. Speaking of geeking gadgets, a lot of folks have asked, with the PS3, there were some announcements this week around the PS3, and the online. I'm going to talk about those the after show. So I'm going to talk about those in the after show. Why is there not a browser in the Xbox 360? And it's not like it's not capable of doing one, but I got one word for you. Maybe it's two, maybe it's three. Web TV. Okay, enough said. Want to browse on TV? Take a look at Web TV and how well they did there. That's not all the reasons. I'm sure that's one of the reasons. I'm sure people are going to fire back and talk to me how they love their Web TV or how they can't wait to browse the web on their device. So, hey, we can always do it in the future, right? That's the wonderful thing about Xbox Live. Speaking of Xbox Live and Xbox.com, I mentioned it at the top of the show, and I'm now going to mention it here, is we are going to be undergoing some maintenance this week. So let me bring in somebody who wrote the story on Xbox.com, who everyone knows quite well. That is Xbox.com's Trixie. I've had her on the show in the past, so I know a lot of people say that her voice hurts their ears. So if you want to fast forward past this part, you may want to do this. So go ahead and fast forward about, you know, 10 minutes or so. Thanks. But if not, here's Trixie. So as promised, I have Trixie in my office.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, to that guy who left a comment that says my voice hurts your ears, I say, too bad for you.
That's not why I brought you in here.
Yeah, well,
We
want to
talk about
motive.
The downtime.
Okay, downtime.
So, that's not your downtime.
No.
It's Xbox Live.
It's Xbox Live and Xbox.com
and
the forums.
Right. So, all three of them are going to be undergoing
some scheduled maintenance.
Scheduled maintenance.
Right. That means we give you as much warning as we can so that you don't...
Warning.
Warning, Willow Robinson. Yeah. we want to let you know that it's going to happen so you don't, A, freak out and call 1-800-4-MY-XBOX and go, holy crap, it's not
working. But
there
will be people that do that anyway.
Yeah, please don't do that because that hurts our ears and we don't like it. We gave you lots of warning. It's going to be messed up. You're not going to be able to play your games. You're not going to be able to read our fabulous website or, you know, troll the forums and leave nasty comments. So you're going to have to do that somewhere else for up to 24 hours.
So let's be clear. If you downloaded this podcast, this blogcast, after Tuesday...
Yeah.
Then you can fast forward and you can skip Trixie, so you're lucky. But if you if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday or maybe even Tuesday,
then
you're probably you need to know about this.
Yeah.
Because Xbox Live, you're gonna go use it on Tuesday what's the date again?
17th.
The 17th of October. And it's not gonna be available.
That's right.
You're gonna turn on your original Xbox, you'll just get a message that says it doesn't connect, but in the Xbox 360 you actually get a message on your the dashboard that says that it's down for maintenance.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be down. These guys are, you know, doing whatever they do on the server
doing
side.
Their voodoo
what
magic.
Do they do? You want to explain it to us?
what they do is a SWAT team rappels down from the ceiling, and they point these special laser beams at the servers, and then everyone gets naked around a bonfire and prays to the voodoo god, and then magically stuff happens.
I thought that was Friday night at your house.
No!
So,
not this Friday.
So it's going to come back, and then what are we going to see?
We're
so we can't really
stuff.
Talk about it.
We can't really talk about it, and I know I've seen some comments that people are ticked off about that. They think we should tell you, you know, everything that's going to happen. But, I mean, think about it. What if we plan to do all these fabulous things and one little dingle thing doesn't work? Then we look like idiots, right? So we're going to tell you.
So you think these people would be upset if we didn't deliver something?
Maybe. I don't know. I think they might. They like to get upset sometimes.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to tell you what it is when we know that it's fabulous and working because we don't want to look like dorks.
So that'll come back on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And then people can continue. Now, let's be clear. This is a planned maintenance, scheduled maintenance session. This is not
breaking, and it is not a dash update.
So when you log back in Wednesday, you're not going to magically have a brand new dash.
Yeah. Yeah, and all those things that you're posting in the comments in the forums, like, this is what I want. You know what? We've been working on this stuff for months and months. If you suggest it on Friday, we can't make it happen by Tuesday.
Yeah, we've been – so the developers and everybody, they've been monitoring what people have been saying in the comments and my comments on the blog and in the Xbox forums that hang out there. So they're taking some of the stuff, and we can't deliver it all, but we've got a whole list of things that we're going to be doing.
Right. And we've – you know, stuff that you're suggesting now that aren't in there will – you know, consider that for next time.
Now, you did a top 10.
I did do a top 10.
And it's on Xbox.com. I linked to it when we announced it. So, but there were things that were rejected that were not allowed on the top 10.
Yeah.
So let's go through that list. These,
all right.
These are some of the rejects that we were unable to include for various reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hit me.
Okay. These are the things. This is the continuation of things to do during downtime on October 17th. Number 11.
We got 11?
Well, you had 10.
That's right.
You had 10.
You'll find out why in just a moment.
Five.
11.
Number 11. Pre-order a Wii.
You like saying Wii.
I do.
Okay, what else?
Number 12. Go outside. Beware the bright orb.
Continue.
Wait, what number am I on? 13, right?
I don't know.
13.
13, you're reading the wrong way. Oh, that's right, because you're going 10, 11. Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
I know. Bad setup. Take a shower. Get a haircut. Change your underwear.
Are those all one or three?
No, that's one.
That's one.
Take care of your personal hygiene, guys, because you're starting to whiff a little bit. Not all of you, of course, but you know who you are. Number 14.
Yes?
You can't comment on our forums, so go spam Kotaku and Joystick, because we love those guys, and they love us.
Okay. And then what's the last one?
Number one.
Well...
I mean, number 15.
Number 15. See, you're going the wrong way. Number 15.
Number 15 is actually,
no.
Something I can't say.
You can't say. It was really good, but we couldn't say
it. It was really good.
It wasn't good enough. We couldn't say it on Xbox.com, and we certainly couldn't say it on this show. But
yeah,
use your imagination.
You have such high standards.
What? I got high broadcast standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so we'll let people respond in the comments. What do they think the number one should be? And keep it clean.
Yeah, because mine is super clean.
Super clean. All right. So I'll let you go because it's time for you to go.
It is time for me.
What are you playing?
Zuma.
Still?
Yeah.
You were playing Zuma for like 15 months.
I know. I have it on my iPod, my phone, my Xbox, and my PC.
Which one's easiest to hardest to play?
the best is the Xbox. I just I finally got the hang of the little thumbstick, and I just totally
that you can hold the controller with both hands.
Yeah. You'd think that the iPod one would be really good because it's got the little wheel and just, it kind of sucks because you can't. It's hard to get your thumb in the middle to click
to go quick enough.
Shoot the ball.
So do you have to do it with two hands?
Yeah,
I haven't even looked at it.
It kind of bites, but it's cool.
Okay, so you're gonna go now and you're gonna go play Zuma.
Yeah. See ya.
And you're gonna get your gamer score up.
Yeah, I need to work on that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's recap very quickly. Xbox Live. If you're listening to this before Tuesday, actually before Wednesday,
yeah.
The service is going to be down for scheduled maintenance on the 17th of October, on all day Wednesday or Thursday, and when
what?
It comes when it
all day Thursday.
What's wrong with me? I'm tired. It's the end of a cast.
And your office is freaking freezing. I think your brain is like.
Hold on. I just want to. Let me do this. Hold this. Can you hold this? Yeah. This is what I'm dealing with in my office. I'm going to actually. I'm getting up on my desk. Jesus. And this. You hear that? That is the blower in my office. I am freezing.
It seriously is like standing in front of the freezer door in here.
God. But it's nice and warm in your place.
I know.
All right. So there you go. That's the downtime. Now, what's interesting there, you notice how it kind of came to an abrupt halt right before I got up onto the onto my desk to have you hear the blower in my office. When I tell Trixie here, hold this, I'm having her hold my audio recorder, and when she handed it back, she shut it off. So that's why the interview kind of ends. Anyway, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about the maintenance next week, and you need to know what that is. I'll put a link up on the blog that'll tell you what time the maintenance starts in your area, and what that means to you. So thank you for downloading my show. I'm going to kind of bring it to an end here. Thanks to everybody that downloaded the show. Thank you to my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment and caching globally my files here, my show files, my audio and video files, to make sure that they are delivered quickly to you, very quickly, and you never have any problems. So thank you. Thanks, guys, at Centricom. They run a great ship over there. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I'm going to work on some stuff for next week. I don't know what the show's going to be like about next week, because frankly, this show is really 2 weeks of show. I've taken 2 weeks of show, two shows for the price of one today. So don't know what I'll have for next week. I'll see what I can come up with something, but now it's time to finish this whole thing up. So this is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading the show, telling you to have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint if necessary. And I'll talk to you next time. I'm on my way to Toronto this week, so hopefully I'll see you. If not, I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. It's the after show, the ethereal edition. I have all these sound effects that I've collected over my years in broadcasting and whatnot that I have on my hard drive, and I never get to use any of them because I don't want to make the show seem any cheesier than it already is. After show edition. What do I have here? Oh, I think the big news was the Eurogamer article that came out last week. So that was the somebody from Eurogamer finally got their hands on the PS3, and frankly, it's the most complete information we have so far, but it's still lacking quite a bit. Also, from what I understand, my sources inside the industry tell me that Sony is hosting a media day this week, where they're obviously inviting a bunch of folks to come in. So over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and from this point forward, I expect the Sony PR machine to be in full tilt. Did I just say PR machine twice? I guess I did. I expect the PR machine to, there's three times, to be in full tilt. So don't get worried about that if you see that. So, anybody that listens to this show that's going to that event, if you want to email me, major@xbox.com, and feel free to stay anonymous. I won't out you. I would love to see what you think. Or if anybody has their, has had some time with the PS3, their online side, feel free to send me an email, major@xbox.com. I'll take anonymous emails. I don't care. Just curious. Let's see what else. Well, you know, I wasn't going to announce this, but I will announce a little, kind of a tease. I won't say when, where, or how. But I have been contacted to co-host, or at least be a permanent special, quasi-special guest on a satellite radio program around gaming. So I don't want to say who it is or what it is yet, but when I have more details, you can be darn sure that I'll be talking about them. So if you want to get Major Nelson in your in your satellite radio, then that may be it too. So let's see. I'm just... I'm clearly not going to be like the king of all media, but I'm just kind of doing my own thing over here. So details soon on if this happens. It's well past the proposal stage, and we'll see. I get to go on and talk about cool stuff. Don't know if it's going to be like the satellite version of what I do here. I'm sure it won't be as intense, because what I do here is pretty intense, you know, relative to what you guys want to listen to and so forth. But, all right, let me wrap it up here. Again, don't know what the show is going to be next week, because frankly, this show weighing in a big fat hour and 24 plus minutes now is really two shows. This is this week and next week is what it feels like, because I had so much going on. So we'll see if I can get a show out next week. That's it for now. I think, do I have any cheesy music? Oh yeah, this is always a good one to go out with. Later.